Episode 207.
Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Bab.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing.
Welcome everybody to a special episode of Ancast, I guess.
Or Nacast.
Or Nacast, I guess you can still have... Gotta give the brown guy the top billing, I guess.
Yeah. I've been oppressed too long.
I know.
Now it's time for me to have the top billing.
You're right. I always get second place. See, I like Tancast, though, because I feel like the white creamy center in an Oreo. And that's comforting.
Now we're like the Oreo someone split apart and ate one of the chocolate parts.
That's true, which is how my son eats them. He will not eat a sandwich cookie with the sandwich pieces still on it.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, he doesn't even, like, rip one side off. Like, he rips one side off and sets it aside and then just starts, like, with his fingers peeling the cream out of the middle.
Does he even eat any of the cookie part?
Eventually, gets back around to it. But, he's clearly got priorities.
I like the whole experience, the whole flavors all together.
I agree.
You know what's weird? Hmm. So, I've seen this a couple places. Like, people talk about, you know, if you're eating something, turning upside down, and then that'll make it taste different because the whatever is on the other side, like if it's like a sandwich and there's only, you know, mayo on one side or cheese or whatever, it hits your tongue first. And I have never thought of that before.
You know what's crazy? I often do that. I just had never thought to tell anybody about it because I assumed everyone tried that.
I mean, I may do it by accident. No, I think when I eat a burger, I'm a purist. Like, whatever part is the supposed top where they put the little dome with the sesame seeds, that's always the top.
I often flip burgers upside down because usually you put all the good shit up there. Well, I mean, the burger itself is delicious, of course, but... like, especially if I'm doing a burger that's got, like, barbecue sauce and onion rings on it, I will probably 9 times out of 10 flip that thing upside down.
Such a simple thing, and I never, like, thought that would, like, you know, change how it may taste.
Oh, you know what's great upside down?
Your mom?
Yes. Also, Vienna fingers.
Those are a cookie, right?
Yes. The joke is that they're identical upside down.
Oh, you.
Because they're still delicious.
You're a trickster.
Yeah, I am. I'm sneaky that way.
So, Tim's out here today. He is moving to the east side.
Yep.
To D-Lex apartment in the sky.
Yep.
Not really. I think he's moving to a duplex.
Speaking of which, I guess George Jefferson died this week.
He did. To be honest, if you had asked me if he was alive before, I'd be like, I don't know.
I'm still not entirely sure if George Burns is dead or not, or if I just keep misremembering it. And then I remind myself, fucker would be like 120 now. He is dead. He is wormy worm food. But every once in a while, I hear George Burns. I'm like, I wonder if that fucker's still around. No, unlikely. Unlikely.
So, yeah. He's dead. That's sad.
But it is.
I didn't think he was doing much. Not that it, you know, makes it any less sad.
Well, he was living, and now he's not doing that.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. Now he's moved on up to the deluxest apartment.
That is the joke. Of course it's a joke.
Of course it's the joke. That is every hack fucking writer ever is going to write that joke. And then all of the dark hack writers would write the joke that I wrote, which was, he's moving on down.
Oh, he's been demoted.
Dirty, wormy nothing in the ground.
Oh, I thought
that
you were more like he's going to hell.
No. I don't believe in hell anymore.
I know, but you still may make the joke.
I know, that's true. I do. Moving on down.
I just trimmed my plant. That's not a euphemism.
I was going to say, is that a euphemism for your cock ivy?
No. Do we want to do tan laughs?
I was thinking we'd skip tan laughs this week.
All right.
And let Tim do it.
What do you... I noticed you tweeted about... I guess there's been an update to the iPhone podcast app, and you said still sucks.
Yes, it is measurably better. For instance, when you start it up, it no longer takes a minute and a half to actually become responsive. Now it only takes 40 seconds. Also, It no longer, when you bring it up, just brings you up a bunch of generic non-artwork artwork. It will actually go back out and reload all the fucking artwork again. Because constant, like, you could, if you deleted the app and reloaded everything, it would keep the artwork for all the different shows that you listen to for, like, maybe a week. And, like, the next time it updates anything, all the artwork would disappear. And it would just be, like, their generic little, here's a gray head on a white background. Imagine that's a face.
A beautiful face.
Yeah. But so, there's still a bunch of stuff.
I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and it finally, I guess, syncs with the music app, like where you are playing it, because that was annoying the piss
out of me.
That
would be nice.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch of other shit that it does wrong. Like how it handles deleting things when you get to the end of them is still wrong. Like, just the general interface is still all fucked up. The fact that you have to move the artwork out of the way to actually get at things.
Oh, that's such a terrible, like,
yep.
Like, I feel like Steve Jobs has not been gone that long that you would forget. Like, I do not think that is something that Steve Jobs would approve. Like, yeah, let's just hide the shit that people want to get to all the time.
Apple did a bunch of shit that is like a bunch of stuff on the software side. Steve Jobs, for, I would say, like, the really big things, like the OS, kind of had a really, you know, like a keen eye for things, especially for picking out which John Ivy's designs were great. And I guess, like, constantly pushing Ivy, like, you know, thinner, better, sleeker, better. But there's been some shitty software to come out of Apple's software.
Yeah, like the whole counter, like, our counter's going to look like leather.
Yeah.
Or the Find My Friends app. Like, why does it look any different than any other app on the phone? It should just look exactly like everything else. There's no reason to wrap it in faux leather.
Find My Friends. Yeah, it's because all my friends were fucking assless chaps or something?
Not only that, there's no way to, like, just say, hey, scan my phone book for all my friends. You have to type in their name.
Yes.
It's like, what? Why would anyone do that? Like,
every goddamn time. It should be just like, hey, I've got all these email addresses. Can you tell me if any of them have accounts?
And also, I don't want to ping, like, the friends aren't using it. I don't want to ping them, like, hey, use this program. If you're using it, great. We'll be friends. If not, then that's fine.
Yeah. I just want it to be like, hey, it tells me that we're both using this program. Do you want to be friends on it? No? That's fine.
We should quickly pause and mention, this is going to be a more tech video game slanted podcast, since Tim's not here. So yeah, just warning you that you may have noticed already, but, you know, so if you're not into that, we'll be back to our normal schedule next week.
And on the plus side, we are intending to make this a shorter episode than normal.
This is true.
We'll see if we succeed.
So I don't know if I mentioned this. I downloaded an app called Downcast that is a podcasting app because, when I go on trips, I'm on a trip, obviously. It's nice to be able to still get my podcasts without having my laptop where I can just, you know, download them over there. So that is the biggest reason I downloaded it, and it got rave reviews, and the iPhone version sucked. So I downloaded it, and overall, I like it a lot. The biggest thing is, I think because it's a non-native app, it can get really kind of slow and unresponsive at times. Which kind of sucks. But overall, it is head and shoulders better than the Apple app. Like, for example, I listen to, like, I'll create a big playlist of apps, of podcasts. Some of them are songs, so I don't want to listen to those, like, at a faster pace. I want to listen to them at the normal, you know, what I would listen to music at. Mm-hmm. And you can set it on a per podcast basis, which podcast will play at 2x speed, 3x speed, or whatever.
I think, now there's no 3x speed, there's only half and double, but I think the new podcast app remembers on a per podcast basis.
Well, before it didn't even remember,
like, one run to another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would just reset to normal speed every time it would switch to another, like, if I created, you know, just playing continuous, it would just stop. I'm like, what the fuck? Another thing is you can skip ahead. Well, which I guess they introduced in the podcast app, but in this one you can set your increments. Like, it'll allow you to go and say, you know, I want to be able to jump back 30 seconds and 15 seconds, and jump ahead, you know, 1 minute and 2 minutes, which is really nice. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. You can sync all your settings to the cloud, which is nice, so if you download it again, you know, you don't have to resave everything up.
That is nice.
I mean, I would say overall it's really good, just the biggest problem being that, you know, it can be kind of slow and unresponsive. And there's something else that I was like, eh, I'm not really a fan of this. I think the other things are just minor quibbles. Like, you know, it doesn't allow the app not to be useful. It's just like little things of how I use things that I would like them to do differently. But overall, I would recommend Downcast. It is does cost money, but I think it is worth it. I mean, one quibble is like it doesn't sync to Last.fm, which I don't know. I'm a nerd. I like to sync things and look at data. So I won't sync my podcast anymore, but whatever. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about how, like, IMDb and Netflix and, well, fucking every other movie, like, review or rating or whatever thing, like, they don't all talk to each other. Because I would love to be able to go to IMDb, rate things, have Netflix suck that down and make my suggestions. And then when I'm going on to Amazon, have Amazon go, oh, you liked all of those things that you already set one place? Well, here's some other suggested movies that you can buy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem with, like, you know, them being separate companies. Like, I know, you know, people do release APIs so you can pull useful information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think at some level, they need to keep something for themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really, like, where they're trying to build their value is that they have access to that data. So it's like your data is their product. That's their offering. It's not that you are the consumer. It's that the people that they can advertise you to, I guess. I don't know. I feel like English just failed me right there. But
you know, I think it's interesting, like, especially nowadays, like, how we are the consumer, but we are still, like, forcing our software to work for, like, making our software work how we want it. Like, instead of the software just being how we want it. Like, Mountain Lion came out, and I saw an article of, like, all these different things, like, here's how to make it better. It's like, it should just be better, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like we're at a point where it should just come out, and maybe that's just not the way of the world. Maybe there is no, like, you know, it's going to be exactly how you want it and you want it. Maybe you always are going to have to do some work to customize it. Like, I don't know, maybe that's just the nature of the beast, but it just feels odd that it's still a thing where you have to go in and go, okay, I need to get this app to change this app. Like, you have to download other apps to make this app work how you want it. It's like, oh, that seems crazy to me.
Yeah, but then again, in some cases, those things, you know, and I don't want to make too sweeping a generalization here, like I often will, but in some cases, it's like, if you're a power user, which I think you and I both kind of fall into that, you know, there are definitely geeks out there that are way geekier with this stuff than we are.
Oh, most.
That spend even longer dealing with computers and, like, get way even further into it than we do. But, like, you and I love shortcuts. So we love, like, quick launch things, like Quicksilver or, you know, other type app launcher type things. We love to be able to hit keys, type a couple of letters, and have something happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because they often will introduce interface changes to make stuff faster, but it's like, that stuff doesn't matter because I don't use the regular interface. Like,
yep.
I don't drill down into things. I just, you know, say I want to open this folder. I launch a window and I say type in the full name and open. It's like, I mean, that's so much more efficient than, like, clicking and, yeah. Anyway, so were you going to say something else?
No. I was just going to agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, suck your dick a little.
Although I am getting into this point, I feel like, in my life where, on one hand, yeah, I want the software do I want. But also, like, if the software is, like, good and, like, if it does enough of what I want it to do, that's fine. Like, I've been thinking about, like, you know, there's all this software that has all this bells and whistles and stuff. And I'm like, I don't even use that stuff. I just need to do, like, this kind of one thing. If it does that thing, I'm happy with it. Like, I know people hate iTunes. I think iTunes is fine. Like, it plays my music. I can create smart playlists. Like, that's all I needed to do. Like, I don't know other people are doing the music, but I'm like, that's good enough for me.
Well, a lot of complaints, because I certainly have them, about iTunes, are that it does too many things.
So
there's, like, too many things all wrapped up in iTunes where it's like, you know, play audio, okay, play video, okay. But then it's like, go shopping for books for your iPad. I'm sure that does not need to be wedged into the same interface where I go and, you know, watch The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah, I guess so it's interesting with actual physical things. Mm-hmm. I don't like convergence too much because I feel like, you know, if you want to replace one, you know, then that's an issue.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
and you also don't get the best of all worlds.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like with software, it doesn't really, for me, it doesn't really matter as much because it's like, it's not like I'm going to go buy a new software. Like, I want my software to be all combined because I don't want to open up a bunch of different things to do different things. Like, for me, I guess I want the kind of one thing to do everything, and I'm fine with that. Like I don't like that they're splitting the podcast out of the music player, I guess, which is going to happen when iOS 6 comes out.
Probably.
Like, I want it to be
that's
just
the
one
assumption,
thing.
But...
Yeah, that is the assumption. It could be wrong. But I feel like... maybe it is just assumption just because they came out with the app.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The big thing with iTunes that bugs me is that it's so fucking slow to load. And again, it's kind of like the same thing where with physical convergence, you know, you get the jack of all trades and master of none effect. It's like whatever you've got, it's never going to be the best this or the best that. And in some cases, it's not even really going to be good enough. It's just like it does it, but not well enough. It's the fact that it's so, like, it takes so long to load, and there are so many things in iTunes that make it just, like, shit itself. So, like, you're just trying to get a new set of, like, update your apps or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually update your apps via iTunes instead of just going directly through the cloud, like you can do now, which I'm starting to move over to do. Just like the fact that the whole interface can, like, completely hang. In some cases, like, for minutes at a time because it's busy downloading something and it's single-threaded. It just sucks. Like, I can feel it sucking
that.
The life out of me when I'm waiting for it to do something. And I think... I get what you mean about, like, as I'm getting older, it's like, yeah, you know, I just need something functional. I don't need something with the bells and the whistles. I want something that I can go in, it's going to have good defaults. I don't need to sit there and decide... like fucking IM things where it's like, you can decide your background color. Oh, fuck, I don't care. I want to open you up and talk to people. I don't want you to take twice as long to open just so that you can have a fucking bouncing NFL logo in the corner or some shit like that so everyone knows that I like football. It's like, fuck, just open and let me talk. That's it. That's all I need.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been thinking a lot about work technology, and I used to be, I'm into technology.
Yeah.
And I like all the bells and whistles, but then I start to think about, like, so I'll spend so much time, you know, comparing cameras. I'm like, does it really fucking matter? Like, am I really going to notice that little difference in that thing? Like, yeah, someone will. You know,
yeah.
Someone who's really, really into that stuff, they're going to notice the difference. But I think, like, for the average person, like, you're not going to notice. Like, maybe the blacks are better on the TV. Maybe you notice, but maybe you won't. But I think once you start watching it, you'll be like, oh, this is a great fucking TV. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that depends on how often you tune into CW.
Oh, look at you.
I made it the blacks
racist.
Joke.
I'm definitely, like, starting to shift, like, where I want to spend my time worrying about shit. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think minor quibbles of technology are not where it's at. I'm just like, you know, I could probably just buy something and I'm going to be happy with it.
Yep. Now, here's something sort of related, and it's minutia and kind of weird, but it was apparently on a handful of blogs, kind of a big deal, that in the alpha version of Firefox, that's going to eventually be Firefox 16, I think, that they removed an option that you had to right-click on a link and choose Send Link from the little pop-up menu and have it put that link into a new email for you. It's like an email draft.
Okay.
And a couple of people were, like, bitching heavily about, like, oh, well, your usage pattern said that, I think it was 0.89 or something like that, percent of their users ever clicked on that. And the ones that did click on it used it, like, I guess several times, maybe it was several times a week or several times a month. I can't remember what it was. But it was like the average user, and by average, I mean out to 99.something%, never touched that option. So there was a small handful of users that were using it often. And these people are like, see, this is why Firefox sucks, because you take things out. And I'm like, no. I totally get that. It's hard to take a feature out that you have in, because somebody somewhere is probably going to love it. But every single feature you put into something makes it harder for everyone to use that thing. there's it's not Fitt's law. I think it's Hick's law. There's a rule of interface design, and really, I mean, it kind of applies to a lot of things in life. The more choices someone has, the harder it's going to be for them to make a choice.
Yes, yes. There's actually, there's studies about, like, you know, if there's too many choices, it just paralyzes you. Like, I don't know what to pick.
Yep.
But...
yeah, they call... oh, shit. There's even a name for it, and it's choice something. It's not choice paralysis. But yeah, like, there's a name for the term. But then some UI designer, like, came up with a rule of, like, past X number of things, like, past three things, every single thing you add, like, increases the amount of time it takes to find the one you want by, like, 25% or some random thing like that. Yeah, so it was like they took a menu item off and made the menu item better for 99.something% of humanity. And for everyone else, all they have to do is right-click on a link, choose copy link location, go open a new email, and paste it in there.
Well, not only that, someone out there is going to make an add-on that's going to do it for you.
Exactly, because you can hack the shit out of Firefox with add-ons.
I mean, yeah, you know, what you're saying kind of makes sense. I'm kind of like, on one hand, it's like, if you can leave it in there and people use it, why not? But I do understand what you're saying, like, you know, if you have too many options, you know. I mean, I think what Apple does is interesting is, like, they have all the shit that you can do, but it's not obvious. Like, they have all these keyboard shortcuts and tricks, like holding the Option key while clicking the menu, that it will show you something else that you didn't know about. And, I mean, A, that removes the extra options on the menu that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to need. But for the people who are really into that, they're going to go out and look for those shortcuts and, you know, remember them, you know, if it's useful. Yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, when you do like that one thing, but, you know, everyone else doesn't. it's like I love that feature.
I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to. And I don't want to be a curmudgeon because I fucking love Windows 7. Like, there are things that Windows 7 does that my Mac still doesn't do, that it makes me sad that Mac can't do those things that Windows makes so easy. And then, you know, of course, the flip side's obviously true, where there are things on my Mac where it's like, yes, this is the way things should work. Windows, what the fuck are you doing? But Windows 8, it looks like it's just enough of a tablet-centric experience to fuck up the desktop, and just enough of a desktop experience still to fuck it up as a tablet OS.
But isn't there a way to go in and just turn off all that Metro interface and just make it look like a desktop?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure I heard there was.
The start menu is still, there's no button for it in Windows 8. There's just a hot corner. And I run every Windows machine that I can, every machine that I can. If I've got more than one monitor available, I've got multiple monitors on. It's just how I roll. I love the extra screen space. I love the ability to go put one thing on one screen and one thing on the other screen and not be tabbing back and forth. I just find it's very, very efficient to do that shit. And apparently they've improved it a bit for how things work in the whatever the preview release is. And the master code that comes out this October or something like that may have some more tweaks. You know, nobody really knows what else they might have fixed. But it's like if you've got two monitors right next to each other and your quote-unquote start menu is in, like, the lower left corner of the right-hand monitor, it's still really easy, apparently, to go flying straight through onto the left monitor right next to it and completely miss that little hot corner. So they've added some, like mouse deceleration kind of catching thing. So, like, the mouse gets a little bit stickier when it's towards the hot corners. But then there's also a bunch of shit that you need to do, like, using the right edge of the screen to pull in what they call the intents. I think it's called the charms bar or some shit like that. Which is,
cool.
I mean,
it's like a bunch of options.
Yeah, I wish that those intents or charms or whatever they call them on Android and on Windows, and I think even WebOS, the Palm one, the HP one, I think even that one had it. Where you have these things where it's like apps can talk to each other by signing up for, like, hey, I can provide URLs. Hey, I can receive URLs. All right, let's talk. So I wish that shit would come to the iPhone. But anyways, apparently using it on Windows 8, like just getting the mouse to actually work to get that thing up, requires you to go over to one of the hot corners and then go, like, exactly straight up or straight down. And, like, if you deviate by a couple of pixels, it disappears again. So there's, like, a bunch of interface shit that I've been reading about that's all fucked up.
I don't know. I may go back to Windows. Like, I don't know. I mean, I like Macs, but it's like, do I want to spend the money? Is that what I really want to spend my money on?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not, what I'm doing with my MacBook is not really, I don't really need to spend the extra money. Like, I can easily do this on a PC. But I do like, kind of like the Mac interface and how everything looks and how it works.
I think the MacBook Pro that I have now that's, 2.5 years old, I think? Maybe 3 years old. I'm probably going to stick a solid-state drive in it at some point to give it that extra snappy boost of speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'm going to buy another MacBook Pro until this one starts to, like, die. I don't think I'm going to buy another laptop until this one starts to die, because it's fast enough for me. Like, I really have not found shit, except for games, that this thing isn't fast enough for. I think the next PC that hits my house is going to be a Windows PC, and it's just going to be for games, and I'm probably going to hook it up to the TV. I'm kind of waiting to see what Steam does. They've had this thing kind of rumbling where they call it... it's not Front Row. Maybe it's Big Screen or something like that. Where they've been trying to get game... The Big Picture, that's what it is. They've been trying to get game developers to sign up for... whatever this The Big Picture program thing is that they're doing. And the idea is for being able to play a game on, like, a big screen TV. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple of things where it's like you need to support, like, using a gamepad, and you need to support, like, some, like, the common TV resolutions. And there's a little bit of other shit like that. But, like, supposedly they're about ready to start releasing that stuff. Apparently they've had a bunch of companies, like, sign up. There's a bunch of patches waiting to come out. I don't like to be tucked away in the office. I love to be out. I would love to be able to go play, like, the PC version of a bunch of these games where I can do things like add mods and a bunch of other shit to it, like the PC version of Skyrim, and just mod the shit out of that thing, but be able to play it on my big screen from the comfort of my couch.
Nice.
That's the dream. And speaking of games, we're getting close to kind of where we had thought we would cut this off.
Yeah, I think if you're speaking of Steam, I think now is a good time.
Yeah. So we wanted to do a quick high three of games that Noah and I are looking forward to. So I don't even think there's going to be special audio in here. Just maybe me going, high three.
Or my wife.
Or maybe not. Maybe I just did it. So, you want to go first or shall I?
I can go first.
Okay.
So, starting with my number three, I'm going to say Torchlight 2.
Oh, yes, that's on my list.
I'm not really into game. Like, I like games, but they are such a time suck that I kind of avoid them. And so I don't really buy games, but I've had Torchlight sitting on my MacBook for such a long time, and then all these people have been playing Diablo 3, mm-hmm. which I know Torchlight is not comparable to Diablo 3, but I was like, that sounds like fun. I'm like, I should play Torchlight again. So I went in and played it and beat the main story, and now I've just been kind of going through the endless dungeon that opens up once you beat the main game. So I'm looking forward to, you know, what they do next in Torchlight. I've been having, you know, quite a bit of fun playing it.
You know what I'm looking forward to with Torchlight 2?
The multiplayer?
Co-op.
Yeah, co-op. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm trying to decide if I'm going to get Torchlight 2 on the PC and hope that it does, you know, Steam works so I can play it just like with Torchlight on my Mac or on a PC. Or if I'm going to bite the bullet and get it on the Xbox so that I'm more likely to be able to play it with, like, my brother. I'm kind of leaning into PC. We'll find out later.
I didn't realize it was coming on different things this time. Like, originally it was only for PC, but is it on other systems now? The original version?
No, it's still launching on Windows only. But they announced months and months ago that they were going to work on a Mac port and an Xbox port, and they weren't sure which of those would be first.
Okay.
Now, of course, that shit could all have been canceled since the last time I read. You know, this could all be it could all be now a pipe dream that I'm waiting for. So maybe it'll only ever come out on PC. But yeah, I think Torchlight 2 is like really close to coming out, isn't it?
I think within the next 2 months or so.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out this summer, and I think they pushed it back to fall. But I can't remember off the top of my head.
And I briefly looked at the character classes, and look pretty interesting. Oh, the Berserker. Yeah, she seems kind of crazy. Looks yeah. like Wolverine.
I may have to play as the Berserker.
Making fuck Berserker!
Yes. Would you like to suck my cock, Berserker? I think one thing that I really love about Torchlight is the fact that all of the loot is so, like, randomized. So you're constantly picking shit up where it's like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's fucking awesome. Oh, that makes the other stuff look like shit.
But also, other times, I'm like, oh, wait, that's cool, but then it's like, oh, but then it does that, and yeah. Like, you definitely have to make decisions, like, do I want more of this, or do I want more of that?
Yeah, it's totally Sophie's choice. You're just sitting there like, son or daughter.
Like, oftentimes I'm like, do I want more elemental resistance, or do I want more overall armor?
That is always the case. You know what? I find that elemental often really fucks you up just because it's the bonus damage. I will often pick elemental resistance. But kind of in that same vein, Borderlands 2. I know.
That's your number 3?
What?
Are you going in order or just no particular order?
No, this is no particular order.
Oh, okay, I was just going in kind of an order.
Yeah, this is just checking it off my list because it kind of fits in. Kind of like Torchlight, but you're also shooting shit. So it's all first person. Everyone complained about Borderlands being kind of, you know, brown. I liked it, though. Like, it just kind of felt like this place is really fucked up and dusty.
Oh, the kind of muted, like, colors?
Yeah, like, well, it just, for me, there was a bunch of enemies that were, like, brightly colored in the original Borderlands. Like, the spider ants. And I just thought that made them, like, pop so much more that the background ground was just, like, this dust bowl. Like, crab sack world that you're fighting in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll spoil something. Borderlands is also on my list. I'll just say it next.
We'd do it like a normal high five kind of thing, because I crossed Torchlight off my list when you said it.
Oh, well, I don't have another alternative.
Okay, we'll accept it then.
I like Borderlands because it has that role-playing aspect, but it doesn't have all the storyline dialogue trees, which I know people like that, but I have never been able to get into it.
I
want to go in and fuck some shit up.
Yeah, I still have Mass Effect 1 and 2 that I really need to pick up and start playing. And my brother keeps bugging me to pick up Mass Effect 3, even though I haven't started 1 and 2, so I can play Mass Effect 3 multiplayer with him.
Well, you could still play multiplayer. It wouldn't really spoil anything, right? Or no?
I don't think it would spoil anything. It's just been, like he got it when it was on sale for, like, $40 or something like that. And, you know, we're single-family income, so I was waiting for it to come down to at least 30.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I did just... Now, this is not part of my list, but I just ordered Infamous 2 for $10. Managed to catch a Best Buy deal.
Nice. I have not played the first one, but I did play the... I haven't played the second one. I played the first one where, like, PSN fucked up and gave everyone free games and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I got it then.
Yep.
Stepping back a moment, also the engineer looks badass in Torchlight, too.
Yes, this is true.
Like, he can do, like, this crazy-ass armor and shit.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that game. I kind of like that whole idea in Torchlight as well, of being able to, like, craft things. So there's a couple of mods for Torchlight, and I've heard that it's making its way, like, into the core game in Torchlight 2, to let you, to take things back to a guy in the town, and have him rip things back into their component parts. So then you've got, like, extra gems that you can, like, meld together and make better gems, and you can take stuff over to the blacksmith and have him, like, improve the armor or whatever, and then, like, build better armor out of it.
Well, I mean, they had some of that in the first one.
Yeah, but it was like you had to choose whether you were going to keep, like, once you, like, fused a gem.
Yeah, yeah, it was either or.
Yeah, you could destroy the gem and get the socket back, or you could destroy the object.
That would be much better.
Yep. Yeah, so there was mods to let you pull things back apart.
All right. You know, actually, I'm going to go by how you were originally thought, and I will pick a different game for my number, my second one.
All right, go ahead.
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Oh, I didn't put that on my list, but I am looking forward to it.
I've kind of lost my taste for fighting games, mostly because I don't think anyone really plays with me anymore. Like, you know, me and you used to go at it.
Yeah.
But also, they don't really change that much.
Yeah. It's like, hey, here's two new guys. What do they do? Well, it's sort of a combination of this guy and that guy.
But PlayStation Battle Royale got to be, because it just pulls in all these characters from all these different games. We have Big Daddy from Bioshock. We have Guy from Infamous 1. We have the Flaming Clown from Twisted Metal. We have God of War. We have Uncharted. We have Killzone. We have Tekken. We have Fat Princess Parappa the Rapper. It's just like all these crazy-ass characters that you can fight against each other.
I love that Nathan Drake from our Uncharted, who is like a kind of Indiana Jones-ish sort of, you know, fairly, like, realistic kind of character, is going to be in there with fucking Fat Princess from Fat Princess, this cartoony game, like, downloadable, independent-built game. And they'll be in the same game with Cole McGrath, the shocking guy from Infamous. That fucking cracks me up. Then Parappa the Rapper.
I was actually just reading an article about why those rhythm-based games aren't as popular on HD TVs.
It's because of the delay, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it's kind of a cool thing. My Rock Band kit, the guitar, has a microphone and a light sensor. So you can hold it up to your TV, hit a measure button thing inside the interface, and the TV will play a sound, and the guitar will pick up, like, what the delay is between when the game thought it was played and when the guitar heard it. And you hold it up in front of the TV, and the TV will flicker, and it figures out what the delay is, like, the processing delay for how fast things appear on the screen. And the game, like, offsets its own internal timing, so it, like, plays the audio and the video and what it expects to get back from you in terms of input actually off sync to make up for that shit.
Wow. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. That's cool. I got nothing else to say about that. That's all. So what's your number two?
I gotta say, it's looking like it's gonna be Bioshock Infinite. The very first time I saw a trailer for that thing, it was fucking amazing. Like, the way the trailer looked, it looked like this world has to be on rails. Like, it's got to be something where, like, it's just going to walk you from place to place, and then you have gun battles, and then it's going to walk you from place to place, and then you have gun battles. But I've since seen, like, actual, like, live demo play stuff from, like, E3 this last year and other shit like that. And it's like, oh, fuck, no, the game really is just that lush.
I think I've seen the preview. Okay.
It looks like a colonial American city floating in the sky. So sort of, and it's weirdly like kind of a colonial turn of the 19th century city, but then with a lot of technology that you would expect to see in, say, like the late 1800s, early 1900s. So it like kind of goes like right from, like, late Victorian and then into, like, late Industrial Revolution turn of the 20th century, almost. So I don't know what actual time period it's supposed to be set in, but it kind of has, like, this weird mishmash of, like, Americana plus, like, dystopian... well, I guess, like, this whole city is this flying fortress that, like, oppresses people on the ground while, like, spouting all this shit about, like, freedom and whatever. But then there's also this group of, I guess, communists, essentially, called the Vox Populi, that are uprising against them. But these guys are, like, potentially even bigger assholes. So it's kind of like the Khmer Rouge and a bunch of other like communist uprisings, where it's just like this reign of terror where they're just slaughtering any civilian that they think is a member of the oppressor class. It's like the whole thing looks just fucked up and awesome, and the powers. There's going to be this chick running around with you, and she kind of looks like a grown-up little sister from Bioshock. And she can, like, rip holes in the world into other realities. And in one of the trailers, she rips a hole in, and there's a movie theater marquee, and it says Revenge of the Jedi on it. I'm like, that is an awesome fucking cameo. Because that was the original title, or the working title, for Return of the Jedi. I'm like, so right there, they're like, this is an alternate world from yours and from hers that she just ripped into.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I'm pretty fucking excited about that.
First one, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I've not played the second one.
I own it and have not had a chance to play it yet. Because, like you said, games are a huge time sink, and so is a toddler.
Yes. I imagine so. I not from experience, but yeah.
Yep. He's getting big enough, though. I'm pretty jazzed about the fact I'm going to be able to start playing video games with him. I think I'm going to hook up the Wii downstairs and see if he can handle, like, Super Mario Galaxy.
You should play Super Smash Bros. And just destroy him!
Yes! I wanted to
You lose again!
I wanted to get Boom Blocks, I think it's called Boom Blocks Bash Party.
Yeah, that was like the Lucas game.
Yeah, it's out of print and fucking expensive. Like, it's going for as much, like, used copies on eBay are going for like $25, $30.
I mean, it was a fun game. I played it with Jeff once.
Yeah, I just figured it'd be, like, he likes knocking shit down. He's a boy.
All right, so my final one is GTA 5.
Yes.
I've been a fan of the game since it came out. Since they did the first, like, open world one, you know.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Was it just start for 3?
It was 3, yep.
Okay.
Well, I think 2 was kind of open world-ish, but it was... that was still top-down, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, yeah. 3 so was, when they switched from the top-down...
Yeah, 3 was the first over-the-shoulder.
Yeah, and... I mean, that was such a fun game. And, like, you know, obviously they didn't invent the open world genre, but they definitely made it popular.
Oh, man. You and Tim and I played the fuck out of that game.
Well, yeah, like, I would play to play and fuck around. Tim would just fuck around. Like, he's like, I just want to jump some shit and get all the cops on me and run away. And
then I want to jump over the water and watch the cops crash into the water and then jump over the other side and watch them crash into the water again.
And then there was these codes you could enter where you could, like, fly in a tank.
Yes. You're like, generate tank, turn off gravity, turn the gun backwards, fire away.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I especially loved in Vice City when you'd put in that code and you get the Rhino out and you'd start flying it around the city where, like, you could fly by planes and whatever and then bail out of the car, like, while it was still driving. So you've essentially just skydived without a parachute out of your tank.
And which one was that?
It was Vice City, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, so before you got parachutes, right?
It was before you got parachutes, because that was San Andreas.
Yeah, San Andreas.
But I don't think Grand Theft Auto 3 let you bail out of a moving car. And I distinctly remember that Vice City did.
Yes, that was such a big improvement.
Yes. Because
then you could just, like, drive and, like, bail, and you do a little roll, lose some health, maybe.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck, my car's on fire. Well, it's not a death sentence. Where the other one's like, my car's on fire. Well, I better park this safely.
And did they introduce swimming in Vice City or San Andreas?
Definitely San Andreas.
Okay. Because
Vice City was all surrounded by water, and it was, like, acid, apparently. Because, like, if it touched your foot, you were fucked.
Vice City, like, San Andreas was a really good game, but Vice City was pretty fun, too. Just, like, the music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is another thing. Like, they created, like, a whole world. Like, they would, like, research the music, mm-hmm. and so you'd have all these crazy tunes, you really, like, enjoyed while you're driving around. It was, yeah, they thought of, like, so many little things with those games.
Yep. And, like, the crazy, like, talk radio and shit that was on there.
Yeah, that was funny. And, like, just inside jokes, like the Faggio. And then you, when you go into certain parts of what was it? Was it Vice City or San Andreas? Like, you hear this guy go, "Young man." And they'd have, like, the fudge packing plant. Stupid stuff like that.
I think it was when you went to the actual... I think there was a city called San Andreas in San Andreas. No. It was the city... Shit, I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was the San Francisco stand-in. And I think it was that one in San Andreas.
And I remember Vice City where you get the that little... It was like basically the Honda CRX.
Mm-hmm.
And that car was so good.
That,
like,
that was probably... See, that I could always tell if we'd played Grand Theft Auto 3 or Grand Theft Auto Vice City most recently by whether I wanted to steal a cop car or a Honda CRX. Because the cop cars kicked ass in Grand Theft Auto 3, but in Vice City, they were too top-heavy. But the CRX, even though it couldn't take damage for shit, you could wiggle through any opening in traffic with that thing. Like, that thing turned on a fucking dime, never rolled over. It was awesome. Yeah, it was, like, if you could have armored
And it
that,
was common.
Yes, that was available anywhere.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, there's better, faster cars, but, you know, they're hard to find. But that car, you could just find anywhere. Like, oh, I'm jumping in this one. This car's awesome.
Yep, and who cares that the top speed's not whatever the Porsche analog was called, was. Like, I don't need to get the Diablo or whatever, the Lamborghini alike, or the Ferrari alike, because this thing's got enough acceleration that I can still beat those things off the gun, just get to the next corner, do a quick turn, and accelerate again. So as long as I'm not going through long straightaways, fuck it, this thing is fast. I hope GTA 5 is as fun as the previous ones. Because I enjoyed Grand Theft Auto 4, but like the fact they went for a little more gritty realism, I get what they were doing, and there was definitely more story in it, but I liked that the other ones were a little over the top, a little cartoonish, because
yeah,
they felt more fun.
It definitely had a different feel. Like, GTA 4 did not feel as fun as the previous games. Like, I enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
but it was definitely a very different vibe than the, you know, the previous games. Yeah.
Agreed. Well,
so what's your final game, sir?
The last one I'm going to put on the list is one I didn't even know existed a week and a half ago. And it's not my top one, but I definitely got to list it. It's the new Deadpool video game.
Really? Does it look good?
From like, the trailer? It looks violent as fuck. It looks kind of like the Wolverine one that they did alongside X-Men Origins.
I will have to watch that because I've seen it, but I just wasn't really that interested in it.
It has been a long-ass time since I've read any Deadpool comics, but when I did used to read the comics, I loved them. I loved that Deadpool was so fucked up and so insane and crazy enough to see through the world and realize he was in a comic book. That always cracked me up.
I mean, the most recent exposure I had with him was in, the Wolverine movie? And I just feel like they didn't play him very well.
No, that one pissed me off. I really thought that they like, fucked the character up in that. Especially the fact that, like, before he's got, like, his healing power and stuff that kind of makes him, you know, it gives him the ability to fuck everybody up. When he was just Wade Wilson and being kind of, like, you know, fucked up and sarcastic to everybody. Like, he had the right attitude, but not the ability to heal from any fucking wound they gave him. Also, he wasn't quite insane enough to be able to, like, turn around and talk out to the audience. And then when they gave him all those extra powers, first of all, way too many fucking powers for Deadpool. That was just, it was ridiculous. It was like,
Oh, yeah.
We're going to make him cool by letting him teleport and shoot I-beams and have blades in his arms and heal from any wound and... Did I mention the teleporting? Yeah, it seemed like they fucked him up in so many ways. But then the fact that they stitched his fucking mouth closed. I was like, no! No. Now you're going to call him Deadpool instead of Wade Wilson, but you're going to stitch his fucking lips shut? Uh-uh. Also, why is he suddenly not played by Ryan Reynolds?
Did they switch the actor, too?
Yeah, they changed him to, like, a stuntman. But, like, they'd already fucked him up enough that, like, it was a little tough to tell. However, I have heard that Ryan Reynolds is going to be playing he's going to be playing Deadpool in his own Deadpool script. And I have also heard that they may be backing off of like all those extra shitty powers, even though it's going to kind of be a spinoff of the X-Men Origins movie.
Hmm. All right. I mean, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but the video game looks gory as fuck and funny as fuck. And as long as I can get a chance to play it without my son, I like those things. Now, if it's as rage-quitty fucked up as the Wolverine game was, I'll be disappointed, and there's no way I'll buy it. But at the moment, I'm eagerly awaiting at least the possibility of getting a good Deadpool game.
Very cool. Well, I think that's it, sir. Okay. I saw Dark Knight. We're not going to discuss it now, but nope. I will say I enjoyed it very much.
I think Caitlin and I are going to watch that thing on Wednesday night, so hopefully when we have a Tancast, we'll be able to all talk about it. Hopefully without giving away too many spoilers. We'll at least be able to compare notes a little.
All right, so have a good week, everybody. And remember, never trust Gotham, because that place fucking sucks to live in. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. Scratch that. Never trust the escalators on BART, because they're covered in human feces.
That is disgusting.
Yes.
And this week I learned that people who are missing several fingers on their hand will not learn their fucking lesson and will just hang that hand way the fuck out of their car on the freeway. I swear to God, I looked over, I was like, that hand doesn't look right. That hand is missing a large chunk of itself. Apparently the rest of that hand wants to go wherever the first chunk went.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a week. Thanks for putting up with us, if you did. If not, fuck you, but you never heard me say that because you didn't listen.
You didn't make it to the end. If you listen, though, we love you.
Yep.
And we're going to give you hugs and kisses.
And here's my phone number. 408.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tancast podcast. You can go to our official website, tancast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official Tancast Facebook page, the official Tancast Twitter page, and the official Tancast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@tancast.com or yourmom@tancast.com, or you can email the guys individually at tim, andy, or noah@tancast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official Tancast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, the pigeon is a lie.
Tancast. This is going to be quite an experiment to see if I can actually do the sound editing.
I don't think the sound editing part would be that hard, but, you know, Tim adds all the effects and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about the editing. I'm like, well, you pretty much just line them up, right? And then, you know, I guess it's more time consuming than it was. I mean, I'm just assuming because I've never done it. Because, well, like, you have to listen to the whole thing and make sure everything lines up. There's not a lot of dead space.
Yeah, so he's trimming dead space sometimes. He's also doing stuff with, like, I guess there's drift. So, like, all three of our systems record at slightly different sampling rates. So, like, eventually, like, one of us will start laughing before the joke. So he's got to go and, like, you know, add a little bit of extra padding. He also tries to get rid of, like, you know, coughing or, like, random noises. Like, if somebody bumps the microphone, he tries to get rid of those.
I think you can do it.
I think so. I've done a little bit of audio editing. Plus, I only have two tracks to do, and Tim has three.
True that.